and if I be offered up on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice. You find joy and rejoicing so much in this book, too. It's just unreal almost. But I trust in the Lord. He's talking about Timothy and Epaphroditus. But I'm going to go over here up to verse 3. The example of Paul, he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous. Verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ. And do it. Have no confidence. You know what? I don't even have to move from this pulpit. I know you know by now that you can't have a confidence in the flesh. There is no way that you could sit here and not know that, because you've been shown, so have I. I've had tried to have confidence, but it's impossible. It's just impossible. And I'm so glad, because the Spirit is what I want to trust, not the flesh. And so I love that when he said that he has no confidence. Do all things without murmuring, that you may be blameless and harmless, and the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Yes. On whom you shine, we still shine as lights in this world. The only light in this world, and it's getting darker all the time, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is no other light to shine and shine to let this world know who he is, why you're shining, what you're feeding on. You're feeding on him. You're feeding on his life in you, the hope of glory in us. That's who we're feeding on. Hauling forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And you know what? I have not run in vain, Paul says. Neither have we. We're not running in vain. Yea, and by the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Then he talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that also may be of good comfort when I know your state, when I know your condition. But I want you to be like-minded, saints, like-minded. I have no man like these that will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. This was in Paul's day. How much more now do you think we have people that will naturally care for our state? Almost impossible. And we love our family members, but you can't even trust some family members. And I don't say that to be ugly. If I wasn't saved and filled with the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, you can trust me as a family member. You don't know what I'd do. It takes the grace and love and mercy of the Holy Spirit and God to be trusted in any situation, whether you're a family member, whatever. Because we have the capacity and the chance to be just the opposite. We have the flesh that we fight. We believe, and as we know that we are in the Spirit, we still have a battle that we fight. But it's precious as he encourages us that you may, and he says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. And you're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I have not run in vain, neither have you labored in vain. Yea, and I be offered upon the sacrifice and servant of your faith. This man, this brother talks about joy and rejoicing. How many times was he in prison? For us, I can say. And yet and still you'll never hear anyone talk about joy and rejoicing like him. How could he do that? How could he say that except his heart and joy and love was the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus Christ. He knew that other than what he had been through and how he had been kept and how he'd been, I would say, just completely held in the arms of Christ in all of these things. There's no way. And he said, yeah, and I'll be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. For the same cause also, do ye joy and rejoice with me? He's saying, do ye rejoice with me? But I trust in the Lord to send Timothy. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But he talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus. But you know the proof of him, that is a son with the Father. He has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore hope to send presently. So soon as they see how it go, will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself, and he's talking to Philippians, shall come shortly. Then in verse 26, for he longed after you, he's talking about Epaphroditus, a companion and labor with him. For he was sick and nigh, but he didn't pass because God let him not have sorrow upon sorrow. Ye may rejoice that I may be less sorrowful. And he says, receive him, therefore, in the Lord with gladness, and hold such in reputation. But let's go to chapter 3. He says, finally, my brother, finally, after all of these things, rejoice. This is what he's telling us. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in me. And we can. We can. To write the same thing to you, same thing to you, to me indeed is grievous, for it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of workers, beware of the concision. And I'm going to go to verse 5. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Now he gives his pedigree. This is what he could. If Paul had any desire to boast, that man had so much to boast in till people would say, be quiet. And it would be true. Because he was circumcised. And the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law. Pharisee, there goes your doctors, your lawyers, your psychiatrists, your name, if they had them in those. Everything that was glorious to this world and men longed for, Paul had been there. Paul had it. But he's given them the example. And when you think about it, he says, I could just boast about who I am, the tribe of Benjamin. Touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church in the righteousness, which is in the law of blameless. But what things were gained to me, I count it loss for Christ. Doubtless, I count all things for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. He says, all those things in the natural didn't mean a thing to me. They didn't add anything to my welfare. They didn't add anything to my life. They didn't give me any peace. I've suffered, he said. And he said, one thing that I've found, and we hear this so much from the pulpit, and we just love it, have not found in him, not having my own righteousness. That's what he rejoiced in, not in his pedigree, not in where he came from, not in what he achieved. Being a Pharisee, being among some of the greatest minds in the world, the doctors, the lawyers, whoever. He said, not having my own righteousness. This is what he was so thankful for. Because he didn't want to try to rob, which he couldn't, the righteousness of Christ. You know, who wants to go around? When we hear from this pulpit the messages that we hear, we are so blessed. Which one of us want to go in, out that door over there and boast in anything but Christ Jesus? Anything but the power of the Holy Spirit. Anything but accepting his righteousness. We're so blessed we hear these messages here that continue to build us up, giving us an inheritance among all those also that are sanctified. So we don't even desire to boast. And I love my family in Christ, but you go in some of these churches and you'll hear boast from the time the pulpit is occupied to the last of what I did, what he did. Nothing can compare to our bridegroom Jesus. And Paul knew this. He wrote it, he shared it with us. And I love it. And again, He says, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, be made conformable unto his death. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He said, I'm not, but I follow after that. I might apprehend, for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. He was talking about being more of Christ. More. That's what he wanted more than anything else. But he said, I tell you this, and I love it. I press towards the mark. Glory to God. Press towards the mark. He was running to win Christ as his bridegroom. I mean, it's just, it's beautiful. And by, as we read this and think of Paul and what he was pressing toward, and with the lowliness of mind, and then he encourages us. And if we go back to 3:14, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him a form of a servant. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, Christ, and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. And he goes on to say, and I know the time I'm looking, but it's God. Let's go to verse 13 here, and as I'm looking, 2:13. For as God was worketh in you, both the willing to do is of his good pleasure. I remind myself, it's Christ in me. There's nothing of me that works in me, both the willing to do of his good pleasure. And yes, I want to do all things without murmuring and disputing. Yes, I want to hold forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, he said. But I trust in the Lord, this is verse 19, Jesus to send Timothy, talking about Timothy. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And you know, by God's grace, we have a pastor. Thank you, and it's all to the glory of God. Like-minded, who will naturally care. He does for our state. He doesn't seek his own. And so, again, it's a blessing. It's something that we can't quit thanking the Lord. As we skip to 3, as I see that clock, this is chapter. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice to write the same things to you. To me, it's not grievous. Beware of dogs. Beware of workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. That's who we are, and have no confidence. I know you've learned not to have any confidence in the flesh. If you haven't, I don't know what it would take, because I tell you, I can stand here and say, thank God I know I can't have. Not that I might not try or want to, but I know there's nothing good in me except the life of Christ. I hate the flesh. I hate the deeds of the flesh. But he said, and I'm skipping because I'm looking at the clock, holding forth the word of life that I may, that he didn't run in vain, neither labored in vain. One thing I do, and this is the high calling, he said, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this is one thing I do, and I love the scripture. Every time I hear pastor bring it out, I just love it, because you learn this. But this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind. All I can say when I hear it comes forth from the pulpit or anyone, Lord, help me to forget those. I don't want to live in the past. I don't desire to live in the past. I don't desire to even talk about the past. I want my life and our joy, and I know you to be right here now, being made ready to rule and reign with Christ, being made ready to be his bride, to be his wife. That's what we want more than anything else. And he says, he may, by any means, he's talking about the things that would keep him from boasting. And then a high calling of God. Not as though I had already attained. This is verse 12. And he said, I know that. Evil one's not perfect. But I follow after. After what? After the truth. After the word of God. After being built up. After obtaining what Christ wants. After the Holy Spirit making me to desire, to want, to have everything that Christ is offering, and mainly to be his bride, to be that bride that has made herself ready. And we have a message by God's grace that we're hearing that was purposed, that was made, that was given. And this message, there is no way this message could fail. There's bridal saints in this meeting, saints. And you can boldly say by grace, I'm one of them. There is no way God gave. I mean, without any doubt, this word would not return unto him void. There is no way. And if it was left up to me, and I know the Lord would tell me to go sit down, I'd just go up and say, no, you're a bridal saint, you're a bridal saint. But I don't know, but I believe that we are, that you are. I believe I am. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is enabling me to believe for this, to run this race to win Christ. So I have to believe this. God's given the faith. It's not my faith. It's not my faith. It's the faith of the Son of God. I'm glad it's not my faith that was wavering back and forth. It's the Son of God that loved me and gave himself for me. And he said, I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So that's an encouragement. But what things were gained to me, again, this is 3:7. Those things I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtly, and I do. But loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them. But done, he counted them that I may win Christ. And I know everyone sitting here that's been in this precious service know by now what Paul is talking about, because it's been preached by God's grace and through the Holy Spirit. I believe it's been believed. I thank God. And that I may know in the fellowship is suffering. And he said that I might attain. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. And don't we just love this? He said, I press towards the mark. Yes, we do. I love your smile. Forgetting that, I just love it. Anyway, he said, but I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling, God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as we close, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And anything, if we're otherwise minded, and I don't want a show of hands, do you get otherwise minded? He's had to show me you're otherwise minded. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And he said, God shall reveal. He has shown me you're otherwise minded. It's like God helped me. Nevertheless, we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk. So, as ye have us for an example. It's just, this letter is just almost too much. Okay, then he talks about, and let's go to 4:6. Be careful for nothing. But in all things, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And I know we do. I know this assembly does. I know. Make your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, oh, the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. It's wonderful when our mind are brought back to these things by the power of the Holy Spirit, because we have a mind that tends to wander. And it's like, Lord, I've said so many times at home, I don't want this mind, I want your mind to operate in me, to come forth in me. I want your mind, not that's in you. And the peace of God which passes all understanding. He said again, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, good report, be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned, received, and heard, seen of men do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Then he says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I close with these, with a shout and with tears in my eyes. Don't you know that's one of the most precious things that we can learn, is to be content in whatsoever. And I asked Paul when I read this, how did you learn to be content in whatsoever you're going through? And the answer came back, the contentment is in Christ Jesus. Because I know whatever I'm going through, he's ordered and he's able to take me through it. And he'll never fail. So I've learned the circumstances are not eating me up. My thoughts are not crowding me. The things that people say don't mean a whole lot anymore. Criticize. I have learned. And by God's grace, and we hear Paul talk like this because all of his learning and everything was completely based on the love and grace and mercy of God. It was Christ in him, saints. The hope of glory, and that's who we have. Are we learning that whatsoever we're going through, to be content? There is no way except I know that Christ ordered these things. And he'll be magnified and glorified through these things that we're going through. He promised. So it's just wonderful when you think. But he said, I rejoiced in the Lord that your care flourished again. But he said, I know how to be abased. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. And I'm struck to be full and to be full and be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And we can end this saying, as I walk away and pastor comes up, we have learned we can do how many things? Thank you. Through who? Can't fail. Impossible.